1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. The Supreme Court is clearing the way for federal agents to conduct sweeping immigration operations in Los Angeles. They could stop people solely based on their race, language, job, or location. Armando Godino with the Los Angeles Worker Center Network.
We will fight the systemic discrimination this conservative majority has unleashed. Alongside our members at the Worker Center Network, we form a network of support and resistance, ensuring workers know their rights and have the power to defend themselves.
Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
This is a major issue that's likely to come up in other cities, maybe Chicago in the near future or Baltimore. So it's not a good sign for those who are seeking to stop the administration from bringing in ICE and maybe even the National Guard to do these full types of raids.
An immigration attorney says many of the South Korean workers detained in a raid on a Georgia Hyundai plant were brought in for highly specialized work that Americans aren't trained for. Another legal victory for the administration today, an appeals court ruled states cannot sue over fired federal workers. Matt Piper has that.
In a 2-1 ruling, the appeals court says states do not have the standing to sue the Trump administration's mass termination of probationary employees. It says they only have standing to challenge the process by which the government has engaged in mass firings. In March, 19 states and Washington, D.C. sued federal agencies alleging the terminations were unlawful and never gave 30 to 60 days advance notice. The court also notes the harm was done to people, not states, none of whom are parties in the suit.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth paid a surprise visit to Puerto Rico today after more fighter jets were ordered deployed there for operations targeting drug cartels. Venezuela's president ordered troops to coastal areas to do the same. CBS's Charlie Daggett at the Pentagon.
25,000 troops to border regions, which is a bit nefarious in itself, to show a willingness to curtail drug trafficking or a show of force.
President Trump today hailed a decision by West Point to cancel a ceremony honoring Band of Brothers and Saving Private Ryan star Tom Hanks. The Academy's Alumni Association was to honor him later this month, but the event was abruptly called off. Retired Rear Admiral Mark Montgomery.
Clearly, he has been a great contributor to the United States military. He was an obvious qualified recipient for this award from the Alumni Association, and it's disappointing that they pulled the rug out from underneath this event.
On Wall Street today, stocks finished higher, the Dow up 114 points. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Crew in Texas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers taking on the Texas Rangers tonight. Yesterday, they completed a 3-game sweep of the Pirates with a 10-2 win in Pittsburgh. The Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, with the win. Danny Jansen at catcher. Manager Pat Murphy.
I thought Miz got on track, you know, around the fourth inning, and Jansen deserves a lot of credit for that. And he straightened out his sequencing and everything else and got him under control, and I thought he really settled down and pitched well.
NFL, the Packers with an early lead and went on to beat the Lions 27-13 at Lambeau Field, led by Micah Parsons on defense, who played despite a sore back.
The steroid pack was enough and in the treatment. I'm telling you, the training staff every day on me, doing everything they have to do to strengthen it, feel confident in it, and obviously they felt confident enough for me to go out there today.
Lions head coach Dan Campbell.
Like I told the team, it's tough, and as bad as that is, it's not what it appears to be.
That's the Lions' Dan Campbell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. After the chilly temperatures as of late, warmer readings are on the way this week. Some showers and storms late tonight and into tomorrow. Low tonight, mid-50s, high in the low 70s tomorrow. 70s are ahead for highs for the rest of the week. Currently, it's 66.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5:30, we talk with the indomitable Stacey Abrams about how to build the big tent for Democrats in 2026 to return this country to the hands of working people. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
On Friday night, it's a Wisconsin Valley Conference football showdown as Wausau West makes the short trip to D.C. Everest. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. Wausau West football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Featherstone Cabinetry, the Wausau West Gridiron Club, and K5 Construction. It's Wausau West at D.C. Everest in high school football. Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35, opening kickoff at 7 p.m. On your radio home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back, folks. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. A beautiful night in the state of Wisconsin. Hope you are recovering from your weekend and glad you could be with me as we discuss the things in life that make us happy, like movies and Rockers fundraiser, which we talked about last hour at the Crucible in Madison on the east side. Three big bands coming together. It is open to the public from 2 to 7, and the proceeds go to a good cause, Rockers friend Big John, who had a leg amputated. So, like I said, when musicians come together for good causes, that is something worth checking out because they bring great music, and that is the Sunday. In just a few minutes, we will welcome Wendy Loeb. I talked to Wendy on the phone. It was like a Zoom thing about this event Saturday night at the Green Bay Film Festival at the Tarleton, and I never clarified how to say her last name. How would you say that? Lobel?
Yeah.
Wendy Lobel.
Yeah.
It looks like that, but then, you know, sometimes people have like more exotic.
Like Schwaba.
Like Conrad Krieger.
Krieger.
Pete Chwaba. No, there's no way to make Chwaba sound exciting. Exotic. All right, Wendy will be here at 7:20 talking about her film. She made this really cool documentary about the connection between comedy and anxiety, comedians and anxiety. And it's called The Anxiety Club. And she is premiering the film Saturday evening at 7 o'clock at the Tarleton Theater here in Green Bay. I'll be hosting a Q&A after the screening. And it's going to be just a really fun night over at the Tarleton. So if you're in the Green Bay area, stop by and say hello. Check out this really cool film. Meet Wendy. Say hello to me. You can shake my hand. Conrad, I'm going to shake hands with people.
I thought you hate shaking hands.
That's a big night. Well, for special occasions, it's worth it. I'm not an elitist.
Do you bring your hand sanitizer with you?
Every time I shake a hand, I do the old squirt-a-rooney. People get really upset. So that's Saturday night. Wendy will be here at 7:20. That will be fun to catch up with Wendy and learn more about her film. We talked about the death of Rick Davies a little bit with Rocker. I didn't realize that Roger Hodgson seems to have written more of the big Supertramp hits, but it's good to have a musician's perspective there. And our question of the night, folks, is what is your favorite kind of beer? It's National Beer Day, and we are celebrating beer in the state that made beer famous. One of them, anyway. I thought I recalled that Milwaukee had more beer being brewed there than St. Louis. But I don't know if that's still true. I don't know what the beer capital is now, technically.
I would say Milwaukee's probably not anymore. They used to have, I don't think the Pabst is as it once was, because now it's mainly for tours.
They might not even brew it there anymore.
Yeah, either. I don't think they do.
At one point, it was Schlitz, Miller, Pabst, all the big beers. But, you know, things changed. And I don't know. I know St. Louis has Budweiser and probably a few others. But either way, we're Wisconsin. We're known for beer. What is your favorite beer? We've got some great answers. We're going to get to some of your texts in just a few minutes. What else did we discuss, Conrad? We discussed lots of fun stuff.
We did discuss that Jacob's Best is the best beer.
What was the stream comment? Dave said, I found Jacob Huckstein, $3.99 a case. My uncle loved it. Not very drinkable. that's not a quality you need in a beer. So we have also, Conrad and I disagree. I talked a little bit about Task. I watched the first episode on HBO. Very good show. Conrad told me last week he really liked The Paper, the new spinoff of The Office. And I watched the pilot, and I told him during the break I didn't really like it. I thought it was tired. It just didn't have a Steve Carell or a Rainn Wilson. I was looking at this show during the first episode, which there are a couple laughs, but it's based on, you know, a dying paper company, not paper company, a newspaper company. The Office was a paper company.
Yep.
And it's in Toledo, and it's kind of this 5 or 6 person staff. It's just kind of tired and sad, which is the state of the newspaper industry. And I'm like, how are they going to get seasons out of this? Who's funny on this show? The woman.
Esmeralda.
Esmeralda's funny.
She's hilarious.
Yeah.
And, you know, Oscar in the first episode is what brought me back to keep watching it.
Is he going
to
be a regular, though?
Yeah.
Oh, he is. I thought he was a guest star. Okay.
He's the accountant.
Yeah. Like he was in The Office.
Yeah.
And he's transferred. He's still the same character.
And in the pilot, he's like, oh, not again.
Yeah, that was funny.
I don't want to talk to you. Stop following me.
It was funny, but it was like a retread. I'm like, it was good for a one-time laugh. You know what I did like was at the beginning how they said, they showed Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah.
And they talked about all the companies that have come and gone since Dunder Mifflin left. And in a weird way, I kind of got, not choked up, but I was like, oh, that's so sad. And they were talking to Bob Vance.
Yeah, Bob Vance.
Who's still there.
Vance Refrigeration.
But you said it gets better.
I do think the first episode's kind of slow.
Yeah.
You don't get the huge comedy aspect, but you just keep watching it. And the episodes get more funny as they go on. And the last episode is hilarious.
All right.
And Esmeralda, I would say, is probably the character that just brings you laughs every episode.
That's a curious choice to cast her. She was great in White Lotus, but she's in Toledo, and she's this Italian with this thick Italian accent. I'm like, how did she get there? And she was the boss, too.
Yes, and a terrible one.
A terrible boss. And she was writing about the stuff we see on, like, Yahoo Entertainment News, like who uses what fingernail polish. That's the headline in the Toledo newspaper now.
You know,
that was funny.
In like the fourth, I think the fourth episode, she brings one of those back. She's like, I think we should do this story. And it's horrible.
Okay. Well, I'll watch a couple more. I was not encouraged at all because I'm like, you know, Steve Carell, Rainn Wilson, and then you bring in Ed Helms and, B.J. Novak, who at the time we didn't know it, but is a very good TV writer. It's going to be tough to top that.
I mean, those are some top tier, actors. Yeah. And it's going to be tough. I mean, but at that time when The Office started, they weren't, probably some of them weren't.
Carell was. Big.
Yeah, Steve was.
And Rainn Wilson made a splash. Like that guy, to me, he was a little over the top, personally, because I'm jaded, but he jumped out at you as a comedic force,
Yes.
Nobody did that on this.
Yeah. And, Jim's character is hilarious in that, too. And,
right.
You know, they do have one character that kind of resembles Jim just a little bit.
The main guy seems like he resembles Jim. Domhnall Gleeson?
I'd say him and, I can't think of her name, the other lady.
The blonde?
Yes. She does some classic Jim looks in it.
Oh, interesting.
Looks so at the camera, and yeah.
Okay. Our question of the night, folks. What is your favorite beer? Jim from Appleton in the 920 says, my favorite beer, Lady Luck from Carbon 4. All right. I have to admit, I'm not a huge beer drinker. I was always a spirits guy. So a lot of these beers I have not heard of. Are you familiar with this one, Conrad? Lady Luck?
I am not.
Great name for a beer. Thank you, Jim. You're giving us something to check out. This is like a information exchange we do with TV and movies, too. So if you're beer connoisseurs, I have every reason to believe that our listeners know their beer. In the 414, again, but probably Belican beer from Belize. Nice. That's Edward from the 414. Belican beer from Belize. Interesting. Never heard of it. Thank you very much, Edward. Steve, Conrad's dad from Florida, checking in. Tell Conrad a frosty mug with Spotted Cow. I'm a fan of Leinenkugel Summer Shandy in a very cold bottle and a Guinness off the tap. Thank you, Steve. Did you know that it's an art form pouring a Guinness?
Yeah.
They have to really like teach bartenders how to do that.
Yeah, and crazy. You know, I've seen people get mad that their Guinness is all foam.
They know their stuff, yeah. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, he's got a 608 area code. The beer that made Milwaukee famous in a frosty mug. Cheers, burp. Tyler spelled out burp. Thank you, Tyler. Barb from Waukesha says, love Modelo. I don't care for Corona at all. Too bitter. Interesting. You know, I always thought Corona was like a lighter, not like, like Spotted Cow has kind of a fruit taste to it almost at times. I thought like Corona was not like that, but it was just light. I don't equate Corona with bitterness, but I guess yeah, I could see that.
It is pretty light. I'll say that, yeah. Corona compared to Modelo.
Thank you, Barb. John from Madison in the 608 says, hi, Peter and Caleb.
Yeah.
No respect.
Yeah.
It's Conrad, buddy. John knows that. I'm sure it was a typo. Stella Artois. Am I saying that right? Artois. Artois?
I don't know.
It's Artois. And Berghoff Bach. I feel like some of these people could be messing with me, just giving me beer names. I'm just going to read them because I'm not a beer connoisseur. But both are simply delicious if you are a beer lover with a decent palate for variety. Price is right for the Berghoff product. Both are slightly filling and full-bodied, so a sizer is perfect. I don't even know what a sizer is. Is it like a measuring thing?
I think that's a smaller.
A little bit, yeah, okay. All right.
Oh, he auto-corrected saying sixer.
Okay, sixer. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's a... And I'm so glad I didn't just like go along with it and pretend I knew. Oh yeah, sizer. You got to have a sizer with a beer.
Every time you go to a bar, you're like, yeah, let me get a sizer.
Yeah, make sure I have a sizer on the side so I know what I'm. Monica from Mount Horeb in the 608 says, I don't like beer that tastes like beer. So New Glarus, Raspberry Tart, and similar sours are the only beer I drink despite being from Wisconsin. Monica, you and I are kindred spirits. I'm not a huge beer person either, but I do like when they get a little crazy. I like New Glarus, too. I like what they do down there. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite beer is a spotted
cow.
Cow, right.
Yum.
That's probably our winner tonight, right, so far?
I would say.
And it's a homegrown beer, much like Miller was. Spotted Cow is like the Miller of 50 years ago, maybe. John Murray says, yeah, back to calling you Caleb. Sorry, Conrad.
Yeah, you know, I think you might already had a sixer.
Yeah.
That's why he called me.
John polishes off a sixer every show, doesn't he? By the end of the week, he has 30 cans of beer. No, that would be 36 cans. No, 5 times 6 is 30. Woo! How far away from a commercial are we?
Yeah.
414, maybe this is Edward again, says, Jacob Best, born in Germany, died in Milwaukee, founded what would later become Pabst. So he had Jacob's Best, and then he discovered then he created Pabst. Am I getting that right?
That's what it sounds like.
Okay. Doing my best here, folks. Thanks for sticking with me. Mike from Cottage Grove, the 608 says Stella Artois. Oh, Stella's coming up on the left of Spotted Cow. Look at this. Oh, Steady Eddie from the 608 says, Pete, a delicious beer that brings back memories for me is Edmund Fitzgerald, a beer brewed in Ohio. That's interesting. I drank it after playing golf in a UW Tuesday evening golf league at the Glenway Golf Course at Madison. I always just had one. Please drink responsibly. Sipping a cold Edmund Fitzgerald on the clubhouse patio while swapping golf stories with the guys sure tasted good. Steady Eddie. That's a great text. He said, Conrad, he added a postscript.
Yes.
And he says the Edmund Fitzgerald sank 50 years ago, November 10, 1975. The legend lives on. Well said, Steady Eddie. I would think you'd talk about shipping or shipwrecks while you're drinking an Edmund Fitzgerald. But hey, I don't want to tell you how to live your life. Nick from Marshall in the 608 says, Red Stripe, straight from the yard, Jamaica. I have never had a Red Stripe.
I haven't either.
There was a time in the 80s or 90s where everybody was drinking Red Stripe. Like it was getting out of hand. And I think John Grisham used to put characters in his books, used to drink Red Stripe. When they were like in the... Well, Jamaica, probably. Sydney from Oregon says, my favorite beer is huge ass. He's messing with me. I caught that one, though, Sydney.
It might actually be a beer.
It could actually be
a
beer.
I'll look it up during the break.
But he could be messing with me, too. Craig Kinnett says, Pete, one of my favorites is Newcastle from England. So good. Keep those texts coming, folks. We will read them throughout the show. Coming up next, filmmaker Wendy Lobel will be here to talk about her documentary, The Anxiety Club. Fun film. We're going to tell you all about it. Coming up next, it's Pete Schwabit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Sugared soda or diet soda? What's worse? Mr. Jeff Perry.
Sugared sodas are worse.
Really?
I think that Coke Zero is better than regular Coke.
Kurt, listen on MDX of Madison.
Diet sodas are terrible because it fools the brain in producing insulin. If you don't care about your body, go for it.
Jeffrey says, I think it's pretty obvious that I don't.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking. The list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. I am Pete Schwabe. Conrad Krieger working the board tonight as we barrel through this Monday night. Finally back on the air after a long, arduous weekend of not being on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guest we haven't had on before. If you're in or around the Green Bay area this weekend, there's a film at the Green Bay Film Festival you might be interested in checking out. It's called The Anxiety Club. And joining me now to discuss this great film is the film's director and the Emmy Award-winning Wendy Lobel. Wendy, welcome. Oh, I think she's muted, Con. You might be muted, Wendy. We can't hear. We can see Wendy, but we can't hear Wendy. If you're watching on the stream, we will get this figured out momentarily. Sydney says, best beer for sure is Phil McCracken. Now I know he's messing with me. And he says, okay, I'm done. Thank you, Sydney. Hey, I think we have Wendy now. Wendy, are you there? No, we got teased again. Con, let's figure this out. Conrad is on it. He's going to run to the car and get the tools. We will not keep you waiting too much longer, folks. Wendy Lobel is here, and I can ask her if I'm saying her last name properly. Because as a guy named Schwabe, I get where people could mispronounce even a name that looks like it should be easy to pronounce. We'll figure all that out, and we'll talk about the Anxiety Club as soon as we get things figured out here with our guest, Wendy Lobel. So the Green Bay Film Festival is this great festival, and they do things a little differently. They don't have like a full week-long lineup of just movies start to finish. They break it up into separate weekends. They do something about every 3 months, kind of a different format. And Wendy's film, The Anxiety Club, will be playing there this Saturday night at 7 o'clock. I'm introducing the film, and I'm going to host a Q&A that Wendy will stick around for. We'll discuss the film, and she's even brought in a team of mental health experts. So we're going to break down a little bit the comedy in the film, the comedians, and how they deal with angst. It's going to be a really fun night. And she's gone above and beyond to have this great discussion following the movie. So stick around for that. And I assume they still have tickets left. We'll ask Wendy that as well. But that is this Saturday night in Green Bay. So our question of the night, folks, you still have time to get in on the fun, if you like, is what is your favorite beer? Mike from Cottage Grove chimes in again. He answered earlier, but he says, my second fave is Modelo. I'm telling you, Mike, I'm with you. I want to try a Modelo based on the commercials alone. Sometimes a commercial can really sell its product, and it does that with me with Modelo. Just these dudes hanging out, that great music. I will try Modelo one of these days. Tomorrow night, folks, a night late, we have another great show. Frank Hermans, Green Bay legend, Frank Hermans will be here to talk about his new show. He's going to be in studio. We'll have Frank for a couple segments. I don't know if he'll perform or not, but he will be here in the flesh. And Frank is always a blast. And then we've got more fun tomorrow night too, because we have a jam-packed show actually tomorrow night, because Sean Hannish, the director of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, will be here at 7:05 because he has big news about his film. And Sean reached out over the weekend, and I thought, we got to share this because it's great stuff. And then from the Green Bay Film Festival, Nick Wattier will be here. He's been in studio several times before, and Nick is always fun to talk to. So he will give us the straight dope on a lot of what it will be happening at the Green Bay Film Festival over the next weekend. So how are we doing with Wendy, Con? Any luck?
Just need to get her phone number.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll switch this to phone. She can stay on the stream. If you're watching on the stream, you'll still be able to see Wendy, but we'll talk to her on the phone. That'll work.
Yeah, Wendy, if you could see the stream, I sent you a chat. Just send the phone number in there, and I'll give you a call.
It's very frustrating because we have Wendy, but we don't have Wendy. And she's joining us all the way from New York. Wendy was on a show, and I'm going to ask her about this too. She's had a long, like I said, she's an Emmy winner, and I want to say she won her Emmy for Nick News. Do you remember that show, Con?
Nick News.
It was news geared toward kids that was on Nickelodeon. And she had like a 15-year run there. So I'm going to ask her about that as well.
It sounds familiar.
I still get all my news from Nick News. That's why I have trouble arguing politics sometimes, because all my news comes from Nick News. Lots going on this week, folks. We've got a fun show tomorrow. Then our pal Heather Heil will be in studio. We're going to give Heather a quiz. What did I say the quiz was going to be on? We're going to give Heather
John
Candy quiz. Yes, that's on Wednesday with Heather. She does great with our quizzes. And then the writer of The Threesome, a movie we talked about last week, Ethan Ogilvy, will be here. He wrote this great script that they made into a movie, and they crushed it. It was well-directed. Zoe Deutsch plays the lead. Ethan was on the show last April, right before their screening at the Wisconsin Film Festival, and he will be joining us Wednesday night to talk about this theatrical release. That does not happen all the time. This independent film that they shot did so well at festivals, somebody snatched it up and they're putting it in theaters. And then Terry Barr will be here on Thursday to make the popcorn pick of the week, because I will not be here Friday. And then Al Petrelli, that'll be fun, Con. Al's a great guest from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
He was on the show last year around this time too, and just his description of these Christmas shows that they do.
Oh man.
It just sounds awesome.
It's like spectacular. It's like a spectacle. So there you go. But our question of the night, folks, if you want to get in on the fun, is what is your favorite kind of beer? That's what we're talking about tonight. And that is our question of the night. And do we have time to play that clip? The Bob Odenkirk one? No, we might be cutting it close.
Yeah,
we got a minute?
Yeah.
All right, we got to do the news. We'll get things squared away with Wendy. I can see her smiling face right now. She's with us, but she's not with us. She's here in spirit. We'll figure it out. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. We're coming back after Civic Media's news team keeps you informed. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network. And you're-
Falls Radio, WXCO. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
CBS News Brief. Democrats on the House Oversight Committee release a birthday letter that they claim President Trump wrote to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The president denies writing it. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
It validates the Wall Street Journal that it does in fact exist. Of course, it still has to be proven that it is in fact something that was drawn and written by President Trump, and his team is still distancing himself from it.
The Trump administration says it's ramping up immigration enforcement in Chicago this week. Community activists respond.
What we are experiencing today is not normal. People going out in the street and being snatched from their family members is not normal.
The Supreme Court lifts a restraining order on federal agents conducting immigration operations in Los Angeles for now. Armando Gudino with the LA Worker Center Network.
This decision will not end this struggle. As plaintiffs, as organizers, and as a community, we are determined to keep pushing forward in the courts.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Crew in Texas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers taking on the Texas Rangers tonight. Yesterday, they completed a 3-game sweep of the Pirates with a 10-2 win in Pittsburgh. The Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, with the win. Danny Jansen at catcher. Manager Pat Murphy.
I thought Miz got on track, you know, around the fourth inning, and Jansen deserves a lot of credit for that. And he straightened out his sequencing and everything else and got him under control, and I thought he really settled down and pitched well.
NFL, the Packers with an early lead and went on to beat the Lions 27-13 at Lambeau Field, led by Micah Parsons on defense, who played despite a sore back.
The steroid pack was enough in the treatment. I'm telling you, the training staff every day on me, doing everything we have to do to strengthen it, feel confident in it, and obviously they felt confident enough for me to go out there today.
Lions head coach Dan Campbell.
Like I told the team, it's tough, and as bad as that is, it's not what it appears to be.
That's the Lions' Dan Campbell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Spike Lee's new film, Highest to Lowest, starring Denzel Washington, was supposed to be a wide release in theaters a couple weeks ago, but the game plan changed. Instead, it was released in a limited run, but is now available to stream. This is the fifth time Lee and Washington have worked together. Highest to Lowest is a thriller that tells the story of a music mogul played by Washington who is being ransomed. The film had its premiere at Cannes, but as of September 5th, you can now see it for free, sort of, if you have Apple TV. I recently discussed the kids' show Bluey on Nightlight with my Civic Media colleague, Stuart J. Waddles. During the interview, we talked about this great show that he watches with his kids. It's funny, sweet, and sort of hypnotic in moments. Well, Stuart, his kids, and all fans of Bluey will be happy to know there is a feature film version on the way. If you haven't seen Bluey, prepare to be dazzled. Disney and BBC have announced that it will hit the big screen August 6th of 2027. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. After the chilly temperatures as of late, warmer readings are on the way this week. Some showers and storms late tonight and into tomorrow. Low tonight, mid-50s, high in the low 70s tomorrow. 70s are ahead for highs for the rest of the week. Currently, it's 66.
Wednesday night, it's the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, the Civic Media app, and on the WXCO YouTube channel. Join me, Chad Holmes, along with Jason Foster, as we look back at week number 3 of the high school football season and preview week 4 action as well. Plus special guests. At 6:30, we'll be joined by Abbotsford head football coach Jacob Nat Miller. The Falcons come off a very impressive 39-0 win over Iola Scandinavia last week. Then at 7:06, it's our student athlete guest from Wausau West High School multi-sport athlete Shay Jones. Jones had a couple of touchdown catches in the Warriors' win over Eau Claire North last week, and we'll talk to him about that and this week's game against DC Everest. It's the Big High School Sports Show, 6 till 8 p.m. on Wednesday night on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, the Civic Media app, and on the WXCO YouTube channel.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
A handshake deal with a South Dakota senator to fund public radio. What could go wrong? Brian Wadsworth of Native Public Radio joins us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me tonight on this beautiful Monday night here in the state of Wisconsin as we broadcast statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Green Bay, the site of the screening of my next guest's movie here at the Green Bay Film Festival this Saturday. I believe we have everything ironed out now, so it is my pleasure to welcome Wendy LaBelle. How are you, Wendy?
Hi, I'm good, Pete. How are you?
I'm well. Am I saying your last name properly?
Yes, now you are. It's LaBelle. LaBelle. And you said it right just then, so okay. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
Excellent. Yes, well, carrying the name Schwab in my whole life, I've had my woes when it comes to people pronouncing my name, so I'm very sensitive to that. It is great to have you here. We are looking forward to having you here right down the street at the Tarleton on Saturday night. Let's talk about that and get right into the screening. Tell us a little bit about the Anxiety Club.
Well, Anxiety Club is a documentary, as you know, and it's funny and it's heartfelt. It's about the experience of anxiety through the eyes of comedians. And there are seven comedians, including one who we followed through exposure therapy, which is an evidence-based treatment for anxiety. And it's a pretty bold move for people who do it, but it can be very effective. And so it's looking at the universal experience of anxiety, but using comedians to talk about it, you know, to talk about a serious subject. So it's pretty funny. It's pretty touching.
Yeah. It's, I have to tell you, I was, I don't know if I mentioned this the other day on the call. In the 90s, I was a comedian. I toured all over for only for like 8 years, not for very long. And I kind of switched to writing, but my favorite comics and my best friends were always the comics who were a little angst ridden. Not the guys who couldn't wait to get up on stage and go, look at me. Yeah. It was people that had to overcome something, or they were a little bit neurotic, because I find that you can mine great comedy out of those little quirks. Did you find that making this movie?
Oh, yeah. I mean, on one hand, the anxiety that the comedians experience is similar to what anyone with anxiety might experience. But what's unique about the comedians is that they're spending their days and nights, you know, introspective, thinking about their mental health, thinking about, you know, how they see the world from their perspective. It's, you know, they use it as fodder for their material. And yeah. I think it's helpful to them. It's not a cure. It's not therapy, but it's a way that they're able to kind of work out some of the things that they're feeling. And it's just good for the rest of us, because we get to, you know, feel less alone and see ourselves through their eyes. And I don't know, it wasn't the initial plan for the film. The original plan was going to be, doing a film about regular people, you know, like me, with anxiety, and it evolved into comedians, and it's just been really resonating with people, because it's very accessible and relatable, and the comedians are hilarious and vulnerable. So I feel very lucky that it all worked out as it did.
That's really interesting. How did that happen? How what made you kind of switch gears and go and add the comedians to this?
You know, it was a long process of looking for the right people. And at a certain point, my husband, who is very into comedy, you know, he said, why don't you know, maybe include a comedian or an actor or like a compelling host, you know, kind of like a Michael Moore type of a thing. And I started looking into comedians. And it was at that point, you know, it was really no turning back, because, you know, finding these comedians who were not only funny, but they were doing material, sketch comedy or stand-up comedy about their anxiety. And it just was a really great way to illustrate what the experience of anxiety is. So it just kind of worked. And so I think, you know, when I think about it, had I done the original, you know, the original concept, it would have been much more boring. It would have been a completely different kind of a film. And I think, you know, anxiety is tough. It's you know, people who have anxiety, I have anxiety. I've struggled with it for most of my adult life. It's, you know, it's not fun. And I think when you see people who have anxiety and who are putting it out there to the world in a really funny way,
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just really kind of helpful. So
this is interesting that you're doing this. I have another question about the comedy, but I find it interesting. After the film, you're going to take part in a Q&A. I'll be there hosting it. And then you have members of the AT&T Center here in Green Bay joining you to talk about mental health and comedy.
Yeah.
Interesting. What made you decide to make them part of the post-film get-together, so to speak?
I really can't take any credit for that because it was the film festival that reached out to me and told me that they wanted to incorporate some psychologists who were local. And I was like, great. I mean, it just makes it that much more interesting for a panel, to participate in a panel when, there's me, the filmmaker, but being able to have these other people on the panel, for a Q&A, it's just a great idea. And I met them on Zoom for the first time the other day, and they're great. And they, I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to say. I mean, there's one woman who does the same kind of anxiety, the same kind of therapy, the exposure therapy that we feature in the film. And there are other kinds of therapy that they practice at this center. And four of the psychologists from the center will be at the festival.
Wow.
So I think it should be great. And I think it'll be an opportunity for people not only to learn more about the filmmaking process, but to learn more about their own anxiety and to be able to ask questions about, their own struggles and hear from professionals. I think I'm excited about
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. My guest is Wendy Lobel. She is the director of the Anxiety Club, which you can see here at the Green Bay Film Festival this Saturday night, September 13th at 7:00. I will be there hosting a Q&A. Wendy will be on site, so to speak, as well as a team of therapists to answer all of our questions. Wendy, you said it was interesting. You said when you switched and you kind of found direction with comedians, one of my questions was, I write all these intros for PBS Wisconsin and a POV and Independent Lens, and I've seen so many documentaries. It's hard to get people to talk on camera. Once you do, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be interesting.
Yeah.
When you decided to use comedians, how, and maybe not even with this documentary, but how do you get your subjects in a documentary so they're just not talking heads? Like in a narrative, you explain the character on a piece of paper, on the script. How do you do that as a documentary filmmaker? That must be a huge challenge.
You mean to get them to
get them to be entertaining? Yeah, to give us some character background and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I knew that these people were going to be interesting because I watched a lot of their stand-up or sketch videos. I listened to some interviews with them. I talked to them on the phone or on Zoom. So I had a sense that they were going to be interesting, but you never know how vulnerable a subject will be when you're sitting there and there's a camera in front of them and, they're being asked very personal questions. I think, in the case of this film, they all knew that I could relate to the experience of anxiety. So they were talking to somebody who experienced some of the same things that they have.
Yeah.
So that right off the bat, I think was helpful. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's just like you sit down and you start having a conversation. And after a little bit of time, you just go into a different zone, or you hope that that's what happens. And I feel like it did. I mean, the interviews were probably about 90 minutes each. So it's long enough to dive in a bit. And, they also knew, I told them all, like, if there's anything that they don't want to talk about, it's fine. It's up to them. They're steering the ship. But I'm not afraid to ask hard questions and see what happens. And they just, I don't know, they were all really great. And I think I've done so many interviews over the course of my career. I was in television for a long time. As you mentioned Nick News. I don't know, did you used to watch Nick News?
I remember it. I kind of made the joke that that's where I still get all my hard-hitting news from, and that's why I can't talk politics. But I want to ask you about that later, too. But you have some star power kind of in this documentary, at least in the comedy world. Mark Maron. How did you get Mark Maron? And he's got to be – man, when I saw that he was in this film, I'm like, he's the perfect guest or subject, it seems like.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, I felt like, you know, he was one of the comedians that obviously I knew of him. I followed him. And so I was really determined to get him because he's like the poster child for, you know, an anxious comedian. And so I met him at an event and I asked if I could speak to, you know, get in touch. I told him about the film and he seemed interested. And I asked him if I can get in touch with his manager, and I did. And it took a little bit of time. It was a little bit of a back forth, but eventually it happened. And I went to his office, not where he does, not the garage where he does, where he did his
podcast
interviews for WTF. It was a nice office. And you know, I had him for about an hour and a half and he was great. He had a cold that day. So he was a real trooper and he plays such an important role in the film. There's just like a certain wisdom that he has and that really came across, and he's very different from the other comedians.
Well, it's gotta be interesting too, because just recently he's been going after Bill Maher and kind of calling him a fraud and trying to stay relevant. So Marc Maron has put himself back out there a little bit too. As a filmmaker with Mark in your film, you must love that, right?
Right. Well, you know, it's funny that because you just never know who is. I mean, I feel like I've been pretty lucky so far that, you know, nobody's been canceled or haven't been any nightmares. You don't know. I mean, there have been some, you know, one of the characters got divorced during the edit process. And so that was a little, you know, I'm such a people pleaser. I was like, oh no, how are we going to, you know, I wanted to make sure, you know, that she wasn't going to be upset. He was still going to be in there. And, but of course we had to keep going. And right. So other than that, that's all worked out. But I trust that Marc Maron, he's going to get himself into trouble, but he has a way of getting out of it as well.
Right. We have about a minute before we have to do a break, and then we'll do a short break and I'll keep you for a couple more minutes before we let you go. But with about a minute left, I want to ask you, what did you learn A, about comedy doing this, and B, about mental health while making this film?
Well, I mean, one thing I've learned about comedy, I mean, it's kind of related to the anxiety of, because, you know, there are so many people who are surprised, shocked even, that these comedians have anxiety and they're able to go on stage and be in front of all these people doing comedy. But, you know, what was surprising is that many of them feel most comfortable on stage. You know, they feel more comfortable on stage than they do off stage, you know, talking to fans. So I think that was one thing that was really interesting. I think also, you know, I'm sure there are some people who think that, you know, if you go up there and you talk about your mental health, you're going to be fine and that's your therapy, but that's not the case. I know you have to take a break. So
yeah, we can pick up there on the other side of the break. That's great. And maybe, folks, I'll even ask Wendy what her favorite kind of beer is. That's all coming up next. We'll have a couple more minutes with our guest, Wendy, and we'll tell you all about her screening too here in Green Bay this Saturday night. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big political news dropped the Friday before Labor Day weekend in Wisconsin, with right-wing state Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley announcing that she will not be seeking re-election to another 10-year term on the court. In her statement announcing the decision, Bradley bemoaned a, quote, shift from thoughtful, principled judicial service toward bitter partisanship, personal attacks, and political gamesmanship. If you've followed Bradley's time on the bench, you couldn't help but note the hypocrisy in that statement, because that's the exact kind of extreme, toxic approach she's brought to the Wisconsin Supreme Court over the past decade. But beyond that, this sets up yet another open race for state Supreme Court in Wisconsin. This one, however, will be a bit different than recent races where majority control of the court was on the line. In this race, liberals will have the opportunity to expand their majority from 4-3 to 5-2 if candidate Chris Taylor, a former Democratic state legislator, wins the election in spring 2026.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I love Angela Lang, and I think Dan Schaefer is great. Dan Schaefer could replace me in a heartbeat. Angela Lang could replace me in a heartbeat. There are so many more talented people. I'm the only one willing to get up before 4 a.m. to do this show. You get the guy old enough to have to wake up and pee, and that's the whole business model behind this show. You're welcome, Mr. and Ms. Middle America.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Tomorrow night on Nightlight, Frank Hermans, the legendary Frank Hermans, will be here in studio talking about his new show. Sean Hannish joins me to talk about his documentary, Just a Bit Outside. There is new news, and Nick Wattier from the Green Bay Film Festival will be here, which is a perfect segue to our current guest, Wendy Lobel, who is here. She is the director of the film The Anxiety Club, which makes its premiere, Wisconsin premiere anyway. Have you played other festivals with the film so far?
Yeah. It's screened at about 18 festivals so far.
Oh, good for you, Wendy.
Thank you.
That's outstanding. Yeah. So you were talking about what you learned about comedy and mental health while making this film. Please finish.
Yeah. So, I mean, so one of the things about comedians is that, you know, it's not therapy, you know, doing stand up is not therapy. So I think it's a way of like working things out, but then, you know, they get off stage and their anxiety, and they might have like a little reprieve from their anxiety, but then, you know, it comes back and, you know, they're all in some form of therapy either currently or were before or doing other, you know, using other tools. So, I mean, that was something that's maybe not so surprising. I think for me personally, I think one of the interesting things I learned about, anxiety is that it's not like with treatment you can be expected to not have any anxious thoughts anymore. It's like you're going to have the thoughts. It's more a matter of how do you respond to them. And if you respond in, you know, maladaptive ways, if you avoid things and if you're people pleasing and if you over research and if you say you're sorry all the time, or, you know, there are all these kinds of things that we do so that we don't feel our feelings. And so it's very much about, I think in my opinion, it's about going towards, you know, not being afraid of the feelings, going towards them, interrupting the ruminating thoughts that many people with anxiety get. But again, it's not that you're going to stop having those thoughts. It's a matter of what you do with them.
So what do you do after you do this like scientific deep dive into mental health and comedy and the connection? Like, what do you do next, Wendy?
Well, I am planning to live in this world for a while,
okay.
Meaning that, you know, we're doing a long distribution process. And we're doing, you know, we still have quite a few festivals. We're doing a lot of screening events, like community screenings at mental health organizations, comedy festivals, colleges and universities. So that's something that's going to last for a long time. We're, you know, it's a slow, methodical rollout, and I plan to be a part of that and try to bring the film to the audiences that need it most. And at some point, you know, I'll start thinking about another project. But right now, I'm as busy as I was when I was making the film.
Oh, that's great.
It's really fun, and it's exciting.
Do you have, before we get into Nick News, do you have a favorite beer?
That's funny. I'm not a big beer drinker. I mean, I would say that if I had to pick one, it would be Blue Moon, but I think it's just because of the orange slice.
Same.
I'm more of a, you know, hard cider person, or, you know, rosé, or maybe a little bourbon here and there.
It's champagne coolies all the way with me, but I'm with you on the Blue Moon. I love a Blue Moon, a little orange. So you won an Emmy for Nick News. You worked with Linda Ellerbe. What a great run to have that kind of run. In show business is incredible. How did you go from there? What do you miss more, or what invigorates you more? I should say, the daily grind of a TV show, or trying to make a documentary to get it out there.
Oh gosh, I mean, it's just like it really is like apples and oranges. I mean, I was so lucky to have that job and to work with Linda Ellerbe for all these years. The show Nick News was an amazing show. We were interviewing kids all the time about, you know, doing these shows about really important topics. Sometimes they were serious, sometimes they were fun. So that was amazing. I never felt like it was a grind, because it's not like it was a daily news show, you know?
Yeah.
It was like we were doing, you know, an episode a month, essentially. I wasn't, you know, and there were other people, there were several people on the team. So it was great. I just loved that. And then she retired. And the show, I mean, it's still on the air in a different form, but, you know, I was working for her production company, and we knew well in advance that she was going to be retiring, and that was going to be it for Lucky Duck Productions. And so, you know, making a documentary was something I really wanted to do. And I had done an episode for Nick News on kids with anxiety. And so that was really how it all began. You know, when I had done that, and I had filmed with kids who were really struggling, and it just kind of came out of that experience.
Wendy LaBelle, it's been great meeting you. I'm glad we got our tech problems figured out. I'm really looking forward to meeting you in person Saturday night and seeing your amazing film, and it's going to be a great night. Looking forward to the Q&A as well. So break a leg this weekend, and we'll talk then.
Thanks. We'll see you soon.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you. That's Wendy LaBelle. Check out at the Tarleton Theater this Saturday night, folks, The Anxiety Club. Very excited to see this movie and to meet Wendy. Great work, and no small task winning an Emmy in the world of TV. That's pretty good stuff. What do we miss something, Conrad? I know we break our share of news here too. You know, I mean, we got people rely on us to get the big stories out there, like is David Hasselhoff making a comeback or not?
We do got a couple texts to read.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Well, we can't miss those. Rachel from Milwaukee, she says, how about some NA beer representation? Lagunitas?
I don't know how to say that, but those are really good.
Hoppy refresher, anyone?
Yeah, those are great.
Way to represent, Rachel. And I agree. And Blue Moon non-alcoholic is my beer these days, so I'm totally with you. But thank you for weighing in. I really appreciate the text. And Bridget, our pal Bridget from the 818, says Leinenkugel Summer Shandy, a great
classic,
refreshing summer beer. Boy,
so
Blue
good.
Moon, Leinenkugel, Spotted Cow. We definitely have our favorites here in Wisconsin. Hey, we're coming back tomorrow night to do all this again, folks. Thanks to Rocker, thanks to Wendy LaBelle. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Supreme Court lets the Trump administration resume sweeping immigration stops in the Los Angeles area. The order had been issued by a judge who found that roving patrols were conducting indiscriminate stops in and around L.A. California Attorney General Rob Bonta.
How they prevent the use of race to tackle discrimination but allow the use of race to potentially discriminate is disturbing, and it is troubling.
The Trump administration says it's launching immigration raids across Chicago called Operation Midway Blitz as the president threatens to also send in the National Guard. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
The president continues to publicly flirt with the idea of sending the National Guard into Chicago, but when pushed, he generally says that he wants the governor of Illinois to invite him in, something that is not going to happen. Governor J.B. Pritzker